Blog Talk Radio.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can come on me.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Our topic tonight is Welcome to the Overrun USA. On the ground, face down, pants down. That's the symbol of America tonight. And that's what you get when you vote communist. I spoke to an Iranian American who was a conservative. He comes from a people that go back 6,600 years. He tells me communism began in Iran 1,000 years ago, before it was ever born in Russia. He said that the Shah of Iran was a gift to the Iranian people. He was building a modern Middle East. He said the economy of Iran in 1979 had a 42% increase in gross national product, while Japan was having a 10% increase. He says the USA, Britain, and France took the Shah down under Jimmy Jihad Carter. He said before the Shah fell, the Ayatollahs were subservient to the state in the entire Middle East. Now they run the state, and he says, do not underestimate them. And guess what his name is? Cyrus. Hot stuff, huh? Knows a lot about history. A lot. He could be a professor. That would be pro-American. He'd probably be the only one in the college, in these communist colleges, which are just hatcheries for Bolsheviks, worthless Bolsheviks, who will have to be exterminated and will be exterminated by the Bolsheviks when they take over. He says that they're the first ones to go, the useful idiots. He says America is foolish and has never experienced a genocide. He says it comes fast, and all the useful idiots will be the first to be exterminated because the communists have no time to debate. And there's only one ideology that will be accepted, and that's theirs. But he has hope for the USA. He believes if we are determined, we can put an end to tyranny overnight. Very quickly, he says. And I'm reminded to remind you, and never forget, it was 25% of the country that won our freedom. Everybody else took a wait-and-see attitude. Didn't want, you know, like in an election, they don't want to show that they really support the small guy. Because he may not have a chance, and they can always say, I was with the winning team. You know those people? They're called politicians. Never forget, it was 25% of the country that won the American Revolution, and our enemies were expelled back to their mother country. They were told they could stay if they wanted to, but they really weren't welcome. And many chose to go back to England. We can do it again. Freedom works best from sea to shining sea. So, having said that, we'll find a nice tune. We'll do a little Latin tune tonight. Moliendo Café.
La sombra en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Cuando la tarde languide se renace la sombra en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Una canción de amor, una tristeza lleva el zambo Manuel en su amargura y pasa la noche entera moliendo café. Café, calientico café,
moliendo café.
Ay, Manuel,
moliendo café.
Muele, 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 muele.
I think that's by a band leader named Machito. That tune I heard for the first time in a bar on Amsterdam Avenue in Washington Heights. Coming from an all-Irish neighborhood, there was one bar around 184th Street that was all Latinos. I think most of them were Puerto Ricans. At that time, a lot of Puerto Ricans were coming into the country. And I enjoyed the music very much. And I was the only gringo in the joint. I don't know if I was with anybody or by myself. And I could see them looking at me. Should we kill him now or wait? And but I played it cool because I was a cool guy. And I had my Cuba Libre. And I probably had a couple and left. And they said, no, he's not a cop. Yeah. But that's life, man. That's life in the big city. Sometimes you can fall into the devil's den and escape. And sometimes you could just go to a concert in Paris and get gunned down. They're taking the pictures away of the pregnant woman that was hanging outside a window. I saw it at a glance, and people say she was either hanging from a second floor window or a third floor window. But I got to tell you, and it's very true, but nobody wants to admit it. If there had been six guys in the audience with guns, they could have shot their way out to safety, and the casualty count would be a lot lower. And that's what happens when they take your guns away. They tell you the government is going to protect you, but usually the government turns their guns on you. It is really sad what has happened in France. But you know what? They are not teaching the history of 911 in communist cucumber schools. Ask any kid coming out of school. Are they telling the story of 911? When I was a kid growing up, I knew Davy Crockett wrestled a bear. They were telling stories of all of our heroes, American heroes. Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie. World War II heroes, World War I heroes. Audie Murphy, the most decorated guy in World War II. Little skinny guy. Killed a lot of Germans. He got a medal for it. Today, less than 1% of the country defends it. And 99% have no idea WTF is going on. They have no idea. Cyrus, the Persian, said to me, they're all occupied with baseball, football, Hollywood stars, Dancing with the Stars, and they will never see the knife that cuts their throat. Well, that could never happen here. We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yeah, that changed when Obama came in. Now we're the land of the freaks and the home of the broke. It is really sad. And before I forget, let me remind you that a moment of silence is a muzzle for Christians. If you say the Our Father and somebody says, let us have a moment of silence, you say, Our Father who art in heaven, and force them to put the muzzle on physically instead of mentally. A moment of silence is not a moment of prayer. God likes to hear his name. God likes to hear his beloveds calling on him for help. And if you don't believe there's a God, well, tough thoughts, baby. Because I'm not taking no chances. Only a fool limits his odds. Yeah. So, when some communist tells you there was no God, it was a Big Bang Theory, I tell you what, every Sunday I go to church and I worship the Big Banger. because he made all this. And if you make him mad, he'll push the sun in your face and you'll get burned. And then you'll really see what global warming is really about. It won't just be 5,000 degrees from an Iranian nuke or a North Korean nuke. And God will give you a burn you'll never forget. But he loves us. He created us in his image. And what are we doing? We're killing his image. What are they getting for a pair of baby blue eyes at Planned Slaughterhood this week? Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. What did I hear today? There was something happened with pets. There was an episode with pets. And, it was turkeys. They're raising the price of the turkeys because of the chicken disease. What is it called? Not swine fever. There's another one. And because that they had to kill so many turkeys because they were contaminated. I says, why didn't they give them medical marijuana? Medical marijuana. What a joke. How stupid we are. We could be conned out of our underwear. We are the stupidest nation on the face of the earth. You know why? We've had it too good for too long. You know how many Americans were here in the Great Depression? I just Googled it the other day. I'm doing it from memory. I hope I'm right. Because I didn't believe the figure. Guy said there was 9 million people out of work during the Great Depression. So I went to verify if it was 9 million. And it turned out that figure turned out to be right. In 1929 through up to about 1937, 38, the population was only 80 million. And now we're 310 million. And that's with birth control. Back then, they didn't have birth control. My mother used to joke when people asked her why she had so many children. Hadn't she learned about birth control? And she used to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Catholic. And we practice rhythm. But where am I going to get a band at 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, God bless the pioneer women. I'm married to a pioneer woman. They're the ones that sit up front and hold the reins of the Conestoga wagon, and they wear those prairie hats. Yep. That's my little angel. My God, I think I got the last one before they broke the mold because I see a lot of guys out there talking to lawyers. I see wedding receptions where two of the grooms are lawyers. Yeah, it's real. And 5-year contracts, and you can't, and we're going to sign a prenuptial agreement. As soon as the song is finished, we're finished. Yeah. It is really terrible, man. We've been turned into animals. There's no Ten Commandments. How do you know you're not an animal? Yeah. The Democrat Party says they're religious. They honor the Two Commandments. Yeah. We're in trouble. The Democrat Party is devil worshippers. Get out of that party if you're in that party. Now, because there's nobody in the service anymore except the volunteers, we do have a mercenary army. And one day, they're going to walk off the job because they're tired of this president selling them out and underpaying them and trying them for unpremeditated murder. If they shoot the enemy first, do they go to prison? This president has destroyed the military. If George Patton walked into the Pentagon tomorrow, all you would hear is gunshots, screams, slaps, and people jumping out of windows. And the entire Pentagon would be in Iraq tomorrow morning. Yeah, that's when America had two big Liberty Bells. Now we got these Jingle Bells. It is really sad. So, if you've been in the Navy, the first thing they teach is Morse code. You know what Morse code is? Dit dot dit dit dot dit dit. You know what SOS is? Dit dot dash. Is it dot dash? That's SOS. If you send dash, dot, dash, I'm pretty sure that's it. It's just three symbols. Everybody knows that you're in trouble and you need help. And when the Americans, who were betrayed by the Democrats, fighting with one hand behind their back and weren't allowed to take out the SAM missile sites because they might kill Russians who were killing them, didn't want to go into World War III, but they sent a 500,000 GIs into Vietnam. And that communist bastard, Bruce Springsteen, who's the a sleeping buddy of Krispy Kreme, sang a song, Born in the USA, and all the jerks sang it, not knowing the second verse was, sent to Nam to kill the yellow man. What, there were no yellow men in South Vietnam? Isn't that why we went there? Just like we went to South Korea to save that yellow man? But the communists write history in this country, and you will never have an America like your grandfather had. And you don't give me the slavery routine. Don't give it to me. I owned no slaves. My father owned no slaves. We came from a country of slaves for freedom. And the country we came from still isn't united. And we got people in this country that want to split us up like the Balkans. And our success is due to the fact that we are a united people. And I hope we become a nation once again, because the communists want to break us down. So, if you were in the Navy, you had to learn Morse code so you could get back to your girlfriend, no matter where you were.
Did dot, did it, did dot, did it, did it, did dot, did it, did dot.
Obama bails out failing communist countries. He won't help any Christian countries, but atheistic countries, he bails them right out. Or jihad countries, he'll go right and bail them right out. The deal with Cuba is a drug deal. The 6,000 nonviolent offenders that Obama has released from jail are drug dealers. And he needs them out on the street to promote the new drugs that are going to be coming in from Havana on cruise ships. And already three cruise ships that I know of are already starting to sign up passengers to go pick up the first load. Yeah, that's what that was. It was a bailout for the Cuban economy. Another year under the boycotts. And the communists tell you the boycotts don't work. They work. They work. They do work. And just look at Cuba. I mean, they didn't even have food there yet, before Obama started wooing them. A banana was called the Cuban fantasy. They were eating still life paintings. And Iran, those people, I saw those Iranian dhows on the beaches of Kuwait. And you know what I saw? I saw, this was in 98, right after we liberated Kuwait from Saddam. And I saw those Iranians coming in to sell the Kuwaitis goods. And the Kuwaitis were extremely wealthy. And you saw them haggling with poor people. It tore me up. And you had to see these poor Iranians. Fingers worked to the bone. Hard skin. Hard faces. And just working on a few shekels, a few pennies, a few Kuwaiti dinars. It was Tuman. I got a Tuman. A Tuman is an Iranian. I think it was 1,000 Tuman. It's a bill. You know, it looks like it's like a dollar bill with 1,000 on it. It's got a picture of the Ayatollah and Obama's on the other side. And the 1,000 Tuman, you know how much it was worth? A nickel. Unbelievable. So, having said that, I saw the suffering of the Iranian average person, okay? And I'm sure that he lived better under the Shah. But the communists run this country, and they made the Shah to be the bad guy and his secret police. And they replaced the Shah with a better guy and his secret police. So, having said that, I'm going to read you from a book that Jimmy from Brooklyn recommends. If you don't know anything about communism and you never read about it, this is the one book you must read. And it's called None Dare Call It Treason 25 Years Later. And it's by a guy named John A. Stormer. And I'm jumping. I'm on page 9. And here's his question in the middle of the page. Are changes in the USSR reducing the military threat to the U.S.? By the way, Obama mentioned in one of his I Hate America speeches, he was talking about cutting expenses, and he mentioned that we have 5,000 missiles rusting away that need maintenance, and they're too expensive. I tell you something, man, this guy definitely, he's on a mission, and it's not good for us. If you want to see Obama, go see the movie The Manchurian Candidate and see how Obama thinks. And get The Manchurian Candidate that stars Frank Sinatra and Lawrence Harvey and Angela Lansbury. That's the original one. And Hollywood, Communist Hollywood, did a remake of it, and they changed the characters to be Arabs, I believe. I wouldn't watch it. I only watched the original, because at the time it was very real. Since reformer Mikhail Gorbachev came to power in 1985, The Soviets, while smiling and talking peace, have outproduced the United States in most weapons areas by margins of 4 or 5 to 1. During 1988 to 90, for example, the Soviets had a 12-to-1 advantage in ICBMs, producing 415 new long-range missiles to 33 produced by us. The next guy that stands up and says we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth, get in his face and say, prove it. He can't prove it. Similar disparities existed in almost every category of weaponry. Soviet bomber production totaled 215 to 33 for the U.S. What is 33 our magic number here? The Soviet launched 29 nuclear attack submarines while the U.S. built 14. The Soviet edge in sub-launched ballistic missiles was 215 to 103. The Reds outproduced the U.S. in tanks, 6,500 to 2,190, and in armored vehicles, 16,000 to 2,000. Has the failed coup, the death of communism, supposed elimination of the military hardliners, etc., made any difference? On September the 10th, 91, Associated Press reported, despite reforms underway in the Soviet Union, Pentagon analysts say they expect production of some of the Kremlin's most lethal weapon systems to continue because the Soviet economy is so dependent upon military construction. Even so, President Bush, in a dramatic late September speech, announced major unilateral steps to reduce U.S. nuclear capability in hopes the Soviets would reciprocate. In hopes the Soviets would reciprocate. In hopes. I learned about the neutron bomb. It was invented by a Jewish guy from Brooklyn. And he wanted us to use it during the Vietnam War. He said it would bring the war to an end. And basically, from what I understand about the neutron bomb, it makes everything disappear except buildings. There's not a trace. It's like a vaporization bomb. That's what I know. You'd have to Google it and confirm it. But there was a guy, he wanted to save American lives, and he was ignored. And Bush did away with the neutron bomb in the United States. Bush the Elder. The president announced that the U.S. would bring home and destroy all short-range nuclear weapons, cancel the around-the-clock alert status of the Strategic Air Command, and reduce the strategic long-range weapons. He said, if we and the Soviet leaders take the right steps, we can dramatically shrink the arsenal of the world's weapons. Hang in, I'm going to tell you something. You know that Stalin and Hitler made a pact at the onset of World War II. They agreed to split Europe between them. And Stalin was to get half of Poland and Hitler was to get the other half. So you could say if you take this the country of Poland and you run a line through the middle, everything on that side went to the Russians, and everything on the German side went to the Germans, closest to the Germans. Stalin didn't trust his officers prior to World War II, so he executed 6,000 of them. When Hitler double-crossed Stalin with Operation Barbarossa, when Stalin had an opportunity to pay him back, he went into Poland. But before he went into Poland, he told the Polish underground, "Comrades, we're on the outskirts of Poland. We're about to launch our attack. Rise up. Attack the Germans. Hit them from all sides. We're on the way to join you." And the poor Polish rose up, and the Germans cut them to pieces, and the Russians watched and waited until the Poles were destroyed. Then they came in against the Germans. Now, how are you going to negotiate with people who can think like that? Not only that, Stalin arrested 6,000 Polish officers and put them in prison. And then he released them from prison to take a walk in the Katyn forest, where he gunned them all down and buried them and blamed the Nazis. How are you going to negotiate with a mindset like a communist mindset? Even if the former Soviets should respond in a dramatic way, what assurance would there be that they would fulfill any new commitments they make? There is evidence they won't. In the closing days of 91, after the Communist Party and the Soviet Union had supposedly been dissolved, U.S. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney announced that the former republics of the Soviet Union were continuing to produce and deploy nuclear weapons despite their commitment to reduce those arsenals. Cheney said, "One of the things I'm concerned about," to me, Cheney was a good man. And if you want to know how good a guy is, see the guy that gets the most communist opposition. Cheney and Rumsfeld got a lot of communist opposition. And you got to realize the Democrat Party is now communist controlled. If you don't believe that, then you're going to get the rudest awakening. I'm going to be the guy that takes the bullet saying, "I told you so." But you're going to be the guy that gets the biggest surprise. "One of the things I'm concerned about is that even with their economy in a state of utter collapse, we still see efforts inside the former Soviet Union to produce more nuclear weapons, to deploy new ballistic missiles targeting the United States. It's going to be difficult for the American people to feel a good deal of confidence that things have truly changed over there until we see an end to that kind of activity." I speak to a guy constantly named Jimmy from Brooklyn. He is a foremost Soviet expert. I think my friend, not Darius, what's the other name that I said? What was his name? Let me see if I can find it. Began 1,000 years ago. Japan, Ayatollahs. Cyrus. His name was Cyrus. Okay. I think him and Jimmy would have a lot to talk about. Jimmy has been studying Soviet documents. He doesn't take newspaper clippings and consider it fact. He goes to the original source, the Soviet Union, the Communist Party, all their periodicals. He goes way back. He goes back to 1914 when the communists organized in Queens, New York, the Negro Garage Man's Association. Jimmy goes way back. He goes to all the meetings, takes notes. So, is the United States being set up for a disaster? So having said that, I'm going to give you another tune, and then maybe we'll read a little bit more from None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. Give you a nice tune by Katrina Valente.
While the world is still, here I stand under his.
Okay. Here's some more. Golitsyn. You ever hear of a guy named Golitsyn? He has a book called New Lies for Old. It was published in 1984. It attracted little attention and a few sales until 1989, when it was discovered to have accurately predicted all the amazing and dramatic events that were unfolding in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, including the demolition of the Berlin Wall. The predictions were accurate. Rather than being hailed as a hero, however, Golitsyn and his mentor and protector, the late CIA counterintelligence chief James Jesus Angleton, or Hagelus, became the target of ridicule by liberals. Liberal is a fancy name for communist. Some pseudo-conservative leaders and columnists. Of course, they were careful not to tell their readers what he wrote or the accuracy of his predictions. That's all history, of course, but Golitsyn continued to analyze and write and warn. Because his continuing assessments of perestroika for the CIA apparently did not influence American policy making, Golitsyn reportedly requested clearance to publish his memoranda in book form. While the book was not issued, a dynamite 30-page summary of the unpublished manuscript started circulating in intelligence circles around the world in 1990, read like a blueprint for the events which unfolded in the Soviet Union a year later, after the August 1991 coup. Golitsyn's predictions, warnings, and observations in the 1990 summary include long-time preparation by the KGB and security forces in other communist nations of controlled political opposition makes possible the deployment of this political opposition to create deceptive non-communist and democratic structures. It is a new form for developing a socialism. The communists have succeeded in concealing from the West that the non-communist parties are secret partners, not alternatives or rivals, and the new power structures, though they have democratic form, and in reality, more viable and effective structures introduced and guided by communist parties with a broader base because of this communist control. They are not true democracies and cannot become so in the future. There's a little... Oh, this one is the one Jimmy from Brooklyn tells me about this all the time. We paid the Russians to not support the Chinese, and we paid the Chinese not to support the Russians. In the meantime, the two of them are putting their heads together. How's that grab you? Here's a little sofrito, and I'll cut it short. Thank you. Okay, I hate to cut them short, but here's something interesting. Page 18, did communism die? Even if communism should be dead in the Soviet Union, these dreamers, with the help of a relatively small but dedicated cadre of actual Marxist-Leninists, still control most of America's schools and colleges, the press, the trade unions, the liberal churches, the U.S. State Department. That's the most deadly department in the country. It has too much control over land and over negotiations. And many levels of government. Even if communism should be dead in the Soviet Union, it is alive and well in Southern Africa, where Mandela and his fellow Reds control the terrorist African National Congress. In Central America, Sandinista aided communist guerrillas in El Salvador are being added to the police forces as a peace move. Jimmy reminds me that as great as President Reagan was, he couldn't get money to the and aid and arms to the Contras because the Congress and the Senate were pro-Sandinista. El Salvador are being added to the, as a peace move. In Peru, Maoist Shining Path guerrillas terrorize the countryside. Most of the Latinos that come up here are coming up here communist-oriented. That does not fare well for a republic. In Colombia, the former M19 guerrilla terrorists have taken off their battle fatigues, don business suits, and participate in government. In Afghanistan, the Red War against the Mujahideen is maintained with massive supplies of Soviet weaponry. And we changed that. That was one smart move. That was payback for Vietnam. In North Korea, and I believe in payback, my slogan is 911, we forget nothing. In North Korea, a high-ranking defector revealed that a hardline communist regime will be producing nuclear weapons at a secret facility by 1993. In Cambodia and Vietnam, communists still rule. In China, the butchers of Tiananmen Square still reign and are blessed with most favored nation treaty status by President Bush. I'm losing faith in Republicans, too. I think that the country, we're going down to that valiant 25% that will be required to win the next revolution. In the Philippines, the Communist New People's Army terrorizes the countryside, murdering Christian pastors and people. Their allies in the Philippine government and media in September blocked the renewal of the lease on the American naval base at Subic Bay, and the Reds rejoiced worldwide. I love the Filipino people. I'm bonded to them since World War II, even though I didn't serve and I was too young. I was a little kid. But They're deeply religious Catholics in the Philippines. And there are other Christian groups that are getting stronger in the Philippines also. But they have always been pro-American. And they're good workers. And they're good people. And they're family people. I can remember going to church and seeing a Filipino grandma take two generations of her children and children's children to show them the Stations of the Cross in the church and what it meant. And they all listened to Grandma because they respected Grandma. You got kids that don't even listen to their parents today. they don't listen to their wives or husbands today. If I had my way, and it was possible, I would make the Filipinos the 51st state, Philippines, 51st state. I would take the Muslim portion, I think that's Mindanao, I would give that to the Muslims, because they do not intermingle. They are for them and their religion, and that's it. Everybody else must die. Send them off. Say goodbye to them. And build a strong Filipino nation. And get rid of the corruption in the government. We'll get our own corruption, you know, like the governors do here. The envelope, please. I never saw so many Democrats do Academy Awards. They have one line, the envelope, please. Know your enemy, because communism is alive and well in many areas of the world, and communists could still be working deceptively in what was the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. It is vital to understand how they work. That understanding is essential because the supposed reforms under Perestroika and Glasnost and Yeltsin's Commonwealth of Republics could be an implementation of Leninist teaching that to advance you must know how to make strategic retreats. Lenin taught that progress toward the ultimate goal of communism is made through the dialectic process of one step forward and two steps back. Chinese communist theorists use this term, three steps forward and two steps back. And Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when the communists win, they win. And when they lose, they win. I'm going to take a look at this tune.
Steve. me and you, let's start anew, and darling, steal away, steal away, let's steal away, no reason left to stay.
That's it. Okay, it's getting a little scratchy there. Here's something interesting I'll share with you. You know, when Reagan came to power, the communists, or the Democrats, as you call them, used to make fun of him. They used to mock him. And one of the big jokes that they used to make about him is, you know how he's going to handle defense? And they went, what? How is he going to handle defense? He's going to put the wagons in a circle. Oh, they thought that was hilarious. But here's what Ronald Reagan did. When the Soviets were going broke, he started to ante up, raise the ante. And he said, we have Star Wars. They said, what's Star Wars, comrade? He says, we can take you out from outer space anytime we want. We can stop anything you're doing from outer space. We have SDIs. And it was a bluff. But at the time, the Russians said, the communists said, we're going down the drain trying to nuke this guy, and he's already up in space and getting ready to stop everything we do. So he was the great bluffer, the great poker player. So the reason I mention it, I'm seeing this, and I'm going to share it with you. And it says, however, there are other important indicators that the Communist Party USA, which is not a Democrat party, or they die when I say that, USA has maybe 50% is communist, the other 50% is stupid, has developed the ability to manipulate public opinion, administration policies, and the United States Congress almost at will. The communists feel they control the United States Congress. Communist Party leaders have regularly been able to announce major legislative goals and see them adopted even when they directly conflict with policies of the President of the United States. Now they got a communist president. Oh, this is sweet all the way. Shortly after the November 86 elections, Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party USA, addressed the party's Central Committee. He rejoiced that liberal Democrats, those are two words that equal communists, had won control of the U.S. Senate from the somewhat more conservative and anti-communist Republicans. His speech was printed in the January 1987 issue of Political Affairs, the party's theoretical journal. Hall ordered the comrades to capitalize on the change and lead the struggle in Congress to 1. End all nuclear testing. 2. End aid to the Contras. And didn't they do that? And I just told you, Ronald Reagan was denied by the Congress aid to the Contras. 3. Stop Star Wars, the communist name for Strategic Defense Initiative, which would protect the United States from a surprise Soviet attack if the communists cheat on their treaty commitments in the future, as they have in the past. And 4, ratify the SALT II disarmament agreement. Those familiar with recent history will recognize that Gus Hall's 87 legislative agenda was also the agenda of the majority or near majority of the U.S. Congress and about 90% of the news media. As a result, the Communist Party's 4 legislative goals were largely achieved by congressional action or executive order by early 1988. We need a thick head like Trump. We need a guy that's going to have his own game plan. Aid to the Congress was on again, off again through 1987. It was finally killed by an 8 margin in the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives. Never let the Democrats have power in any house. On February the 3rd, 1988, under the leadership of House Speaker Jim Wright, SDI, the left came within one vote of killing the entire project in the U.S. Senate. On September 1987, Vice President Bush cast a tie-breaking vote to keep SDI alive. Even so, the hope of ever deploying the system which would protect Americans from a sneak attack by communist missiles was dashed a few weeks later when Congress cut the appropriations by 40%. In addition, congressional leftists inserted provisions against testing SDI components. So our country has been in the hands of communists for a long time. And we don't realize it because it's a soft communism. You never feel the noose, the silkness of the noose that goes around your neck. So we will leave off there. I'll go out with a tune. I'm going to play the Star Spangled Banner before it gets banned, just like the cross. Don't think it can't happen. They want to take your guns away. Why do they want to do that? Because they intend to kill you. Remember the vets. I have the best Star Spangled Banner. Hear the scratches? ?47 scratches. 8,000 men a scratch. WW2. The greatest generation. Humble people. God-fearing people. We got to get that Ten Commandments back into the schools. We got to get it in many, many, in airports. We got to get it all over the world. We got to spread the word of God. So I got a book I'm looking at. Fulton Sheen, he was a bishop in the Catholic Church, a well-known and loved. This is his wartime prayer book. And this is Psalm 72. Give the king thy justice, O God, and thy righteousness to the royal son. May he judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures and as long as the moon. Throughout all generations, may he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound. Till the moon be no more, may he have dominion from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God keep you safe, and never give up your Christianity.